This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
All right, we got 5 minutes left before Paul Joseph Watson takes over on the Alex Jones Show. We're going to go to Jack, Chris, and Seth, giving each person a minute and a half. Jack in Washington on Cyber Polygon Reset, large-scale attack, General Flynn. Give us your take.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Alex, for letting me be on your show again.
Yes, sir.
3 weeks ago, General Flynn was doing an interview with Ann Vandersteel, and he was warning not to worry about the zombie people, not to worry about the UFOs, but to worry about a false flag event coming because of the elections, what is being coming out. And so here we are now. They're censoring our phones. They're starting to censor our internets. They're taking down their Twitters. And here on the ground floor, we've been pushing this out to get it all out about the shot and the graphing.
They're getting ready to move to something big.
Absolutely. And what I feel that folks really need to do is start paying attention to you, because you are right. I've listened to you for years. You got to listen to Mike Adams, Stu Peters. You got to listen to all those guys out there. We are out here warning you. You as well. We are out here telling you folks that this is coming, and they're not going to stop until they get us here on the floor. We are not scared of these globalists. We are taking them head on. We are spreading the messages, and we'll continue to do so. We trust in God, and we trust in you, Alex.
I trust in you, brother, and I trust in God, of course. And I agree, these enemies are servants of Satan. Don't think they've got the keys to the earth just because they're trying all this. This can be taken away from them. They are going to fail, but they are slaves of Satan. They can't help it, Jack. I appreciate your call. Great points. Talk to him for an hour. Talk to all of you for an hour. We got to move here. Let's talk to Chris in California. Go ahead, Chris.
How you doing, Alex?
I'm all right, brother.
Okay. Good. I just had a quick thing to say. I don't know if you've already mentioned this earlier in the show, if you guys already have articles, but Bill Gates filed for a patent. This was yesterday in an interview with Nick Fleming, part of the RBGCR Intel. This was an Intel update. Bill Gates filed a patent with a publication number of W02020606. So if you write that down, kind of is very interesting. I feel like
that's a real patent got filed about 2 years ago by Bill Gates. There it is on screen, to track everybody with an injectable system or with a biometric tracking control system via cryptocurrency.
Yes. To me, it sounds like the mark. I mean, I don't want to put any conspiracies out there, but I just find that being a little...
Sounds like the mark. They're saying you can't buy or sell unless you take some deadly shot. Damn right it's the mark. Some mark that changes your DNA and puts their digital marker on you. They are marking us, folks, as cattle to whatever it is they're selling the planet out to.
And after hearing this interview, as Nick Fleming said, he quotes, Bill Gates is doing the devil's work. And reading Revelations chapter 13, verse 16 through 18, it's just it's right on the dot for me. So I just thought I'd get that out. I don't want to.
No, brother, you're dead on. No. Thank you, Chris. Last caller before Paul Watson takes over. Seth in Florida, go ahead.
Hey, Alex. This is I'm just going to start it out here. In March, my dad he took the first shot of his vaccine. It was Moderna. He got real congested, thought he just needed to knock it, thought it was allergies, took the second shot. Within a day, urine turned blood red. He had an autoimmune reaction. It shut down his kidneys, and it really just hadn't been able to get over it. He's on the right track, but he's on dialysis indefinitely.
Yeah, your daddy's tougher. He'd be dead, brother. They already killed millions.
Let me tell you, he's a prominent Methodist pastor in Tallahassee, and if he didn't believe in God, I believe he'd be gone. But
is he going to warn people now?
He's been warning people, but the thing is, I warned him before, and he's told me so many times I should have listened to you. And you know, it's just because I've listened to your show that I know this stuff about what's going on, and I've tried to tell people. And they don't want to listen. But
hold on. Paul Joseph Watson is taking over at 10 after. But I want you to come back and finish the story of what happened to your father about this preacher in Tallahassee, Florida, on the other side. We've got the Summit News Hour, summit.news, with Paul Watson taking over about 3-4 minutes. But I'm going to come back and let's set the floor to finish up.
I never had a marketing plan for InfoWars. I went out and found the best products I could find from the research to fund our operation. I wanted you to get products that empowered you, that you loved, so you'd want to come back and buy more. I treat you like I want to be treated. It's very, very simple. It's instinctive. It's spiritual. It's what I do. And that said, our iodine products have become our best sellers. And X2 right now is discounted because listeners and viewers are habituated to only buy it when it's on sale. And so I'm in a catch-22. When I don't have it on sale, I don't sell it. But we're selling out of all our other products because of supply chain breakdowns, and so I'm in a catch-22. I need to sell products at full price, but I can't. I got to sell them at discount. And so it's discounted 40% off for the dropper bottle, 60% off for the spray bottle, even though it's about to sell out. It won't be available for months, so get it. X2 is selling out at InfoWarsStore.com for 40 and 60% off with double Patriot points and free shipping. Because why? That's when you buy it. We need your funds or we'll be off air. It's an amazing product.
Take the highway to the end of the night.
Watson takes over in T-minus 3 minutes with the Summit News Hour every Tuesday, 2 to 3 p.m. Central. But I had to hold this caller over to just recap what happened to your dad, Methodist preacher, where this is going, how he's doing, another testimony, Seth in Florida. Recap and restart. You got about 2 minutes.
All right. In March, my dad took the first shot of the Moderna vaccine, and he got really congested. Had multiple things they tell you are side effects, you know, heart inflammation, all these stuff. But he took the second shot after that, and immediately the next day he found blood in his urine. So they tried to say that it wasn't a reaction to the vaccine, but then about 3 days later, they finally met somebody at the hospital that was willing to rule it out because of this rash that was going on because of the capillaries. It was a capillary rash that's formed whenever you have a blood problem with your kidneys, because that's where it was attacking. And it was it caused immunoglobulin A reaction in his gut. And basically, he had a very hard time with it at first and even had a minor TIA about 2 weeks after it. But he's on the better track now, but he's on dialysis indefinitely, and even more so after he gets off of dialysis and his kidney function goes back to where it's supposed to be. They think they're going to try to use chemocytotoxin to build a wall around his other organs to make it to where he'll be able to survive any other autoimmune reaction.
So they're admitting his body's killing itself, because you give someone an injection that attacks the spike protein that's in all your organs, and so now they want to give chemotherapy to kill his immune system because his body's been turned against himself. What a diabolical, sick attack by Fauci, who tested all this out on animals before they did this to us. What a monster.
I agree completely, sir. And, you know, it's sad that we even have to go through this, that there's enough information out there available to people to realize what's really going on and they're not taking hold of it. But what can you do besides doing what you're doing and warning people? And it's just...
Well, Seth, there are murdering psychotics throughout history, like Joseph Mengele, the Nazis, and the Nuremberg Code. Fauci and Gates and all them are admitted eugenicists that want to reduce population. They've done this on purpose, and we project our own goodness onto them and can't believe they're doing this to us, and so that's why they're getting away with it. They go to prison, like I've said to this entire broadcast. Globalists must be arrested and their system dismantled now, or billions will die. And if we don't do our duty, it's on us before God. That's it.
I completely believe you, man. And I just want a product plug real quick, man. I take X2. I've got X3. I've taken Alpha Power. I've taken Primal Youth. I've taken Vaso Beats. I've got Ultra 12. You name it. Pretty much, if you've got a product, I'm willing to try it. And I like them all, man.
Well, thank you, sir. What I really care about is getting your dad, now that he's seen what these poison shots do, to get up and speak out. Is he speaking out about what happened to him?
Yes, sir. He went through about 3 weeks ago. He was coming out of a grocery store, and they had people signing up for the vaccine lines, and he was telling them, you know, don't do it. He's like, there's no reason for it. And ultimately, it comes down to this, man. If you really believe in God and you believe in salvation, what about something you can inject into yourself can save you? That's just the ultimate.
Well, that's it. Plus saying we shouldn't interact. We shouldn't breathe on each other. We should be inhuman. We should be mechanical, run by Big Pharma with its whole giant evil history. All right, that's it for me. I appreciate Paul Joseph Watson being here. And Paul Joseph Watson takes over right now. Then Owen Schroyer and the War Room, 3 p.m. Everybody, tell folks tune in now. Paul's got a lot to say. Here it is, the Summit News Hour.
From London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.News.
And we are live with the Summit News Hour, where I'm going to spend much of the rest of the hour talking about soccer, which I'm sure is going to delight our American listeners, given that they probably have as much interest in soccer as I have in baseball. But this is more than just a sport. This is a delineation, a fork in the road when it comes to the culture war in the United Kingdom, in England, because this Euro 2020 tournament, the past 3-4 weeks, has been the wokest sports tournament, at least the wokest football tournament, ever staged, and that was embodied to no greater degree than via the England football team, to the point where the captain, Harry Kane, was wearing an LGBT armband for one of the matches, to the point where we had a 3-week debate about the fact that the team, before every single match, took the knee for BLM as a purely political message, despite their desperate claims to suggest that it isn't political, again, because they've kind of embraced and absorbed these religious ritualistic rites as a dogmatic religious belief system. So when you even raise the prospect that, no, you're taking a political stance, you're making a political gesture, they can't even fathom that that would be an argument, because they've absorbed it so deep into their dogmatic religious cult that this is what we must do, and it's not even a political debate. Well, they did that before every match. This was billed as, you know, a team full of immigrants. This was diversity being a strength, not quite a strength if you actually live in England when it comes to stabbings, terrorist attacks, grooming gangs. But because 11 multimillionaires can kick a ball around a field, apparently that proves that indeed diversity is a strength. So the success of the English team in reaching the final was kind of played up by the media and by leftists as a big stub of the nose to people on the right, to populists who think that sport shouldn't be politicized, that it shouldn't be hijacked to push far left extremist divisive rhetoric and promotion for extremist violent groups such as Black Lives Matter. That was a big thumb in the nose, and England's progress to the final of the competition gave them the capital to grandstand and claim that they were right all along, that indeed diversity is a strength, again, because a bunch of multimillionaires can kick a ball around the field. That was their hill that they chose to die on. England, as it turned out, had a quite easy route to the final. As soon as they faced a team that was actually of any quality, surprise, surprise, they lost. And what a shame that was. What a crying shame. So in the immediate aftermath of England losing on penalties, they had to turn around the narrative, because they had had the narrative set up all along that this was a win for mass immigration, this was a win for diversity, this was a win for anti-racism, BLM, this was a win for the LGBT movement, this was the biggest snub in the nose imaginable, uniting the country around a new progressive patriotism. Well, they balled it up because they lost a penalty shootout, and many people are now claiming that the manager of the England football team, Gareth Southgate, deliberately chose 3 black players to take the last 3 crucial penalties to send a political message to, again, rub people's noses in it that diversity is indeed a strength. The problem being that those three black footballers missed all their penalties. England lost, Italy won the tournament, but then in the immediate aftermath there was a leftist backlash over racist social media messages sent to those three black football players who missed their crucial spot kicks. And as I'm going to explain after the break, this is being, again, regurgitated into this narrative that England is a racist country full of gammon, beer-swilling, pot-bellied louts who just all hate black people and want to abuse them. When you actually dig into who was sending these racist messages on Instagram and Twitter, the vast majority of them were not from England, they were from India and the Middle East, but the media doesn't care about that because they've got a narrative to fulfill. I'm going to get into that and more on the latest coronavirus lockdown news here in the United Kingdom and more after the break. Summit, are you going?
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You're listening to the Summit.News Radio Hour with Paul Joseph Watson.
So authorities in England were all set to announce a four-day bank holiday. They were preparing to erect statues of England football team manager Gareth Southgate in central London. They were preparing to hand out knighthoods to some of the England football players. And none of that happened because they lost. One of the reasons that they lost, and this is what many people have pointed out, and I'm trying to explain this for American listeners because I know you don't really care about football, soccer. But there are five penalty kicks, right? England and Italy, they drew, went to extra time. The score was still 1-1, so the only way to decide the match was each team takes five penalty kicks from the penalty spot. Now, it turned out that it came down to the last kick, and England needed to score this penalty kick to stay in the competition. If they missed the penalty, they were out of the competition. And the manager, Gareth Southgate, who is basically an insipid, anodyne, woke idiot who just repeats all the platitudes that he's expected to. He's a company man. He's a safe bet. He's an idiot. He chose the crucial fifth England penalty. He chose to give it to a 19-year-old black teenager who had never taken a professional penalty in his entire life. Now, bear in mind the two penalty kick takers before that were also black. They both missed their penalties. There were other players in the team who were older, had more experience on the big stage, and had scored more penalties in actual competitive football matches. But the woke, progressive, white England manager, Gareth Southgate, chose to give the crucial fifth penalty with the weight of the nation on this kid's shoulders to a 19-year-old boy, basically, who'd never taken a professional penalty in his life. Did he do that because he wanted to rub everyone's noses in it and send a political message? That's still up for debate. What's not up for debate is that he missed that penalty, England crashed out of the tournament, and then almost immediately, within hours, the media had started this narrative that there were vast amounts of racist comments being aimed at these three black footballers on social media and that they were coming from England supporters. I've tracked this every single time. Every single time there's a controversy over a black footballer being racially abused on social media, you go and look at the handles of these accounts. You go and look at their names. They're all Muslim names. They're all Middle Eastern names. And that's been documented in the aftermath of this story, headline. Critics point to country of origin after controversy over racist messages sent to black England footballers. Some claim that manager Gareth Southgate deliberately chose black players to take the last three crucial kicks. I've been through that. However, after England lost, reports of the Instagram Twitter accounts of the three players being flooded with racial slurs and monkey emojis immediately began to circulate. This led, and this has increased, this has intensified in the past couple of days, for calls for the government to hunt down the identities of those responsible, with authorities vowing to, quote, make an example of the culprits. There's also a petition which calls for the government to pass a law that mandates people provide a verified ID before they're even allowed to open a social media account. That petition has over 633,000 signatures. So immediately the narrative was exploited to try and expand state power, to try and decrease internet freedom, eviscerate internet anonymity, and increase censorship based on the fact that these three black footballers were being abused. When you looked at who was doing the actual abuse, they weren't English. They didn't have English names. They were primarily from countries like India, Egypt, and the United Arab Emirates, and a study showed that.
Charlie Peters said the biggest thing about the racial abuse of footballers in England that always gets cut from the narrative is that most of it comes from abroad. Tory MP Michael Fabricant called on UK Home Secretary Priti Patel to investigate what proportion of the racist abuse directed at England players after the Euros actually originated in the UK. I don't want anyone talking about it from this angle, which is the truthful angle, because it doesn't give them the pretext, it doesn't grease the skids for domestic internet censorship in the United Kingdom and the passage of a law that mandates you provide a government ID before you're even allowed to open a social media account. Always the excuse is exploited to expand state power on all the usual idiotic social media influencers fell for it right away and are pushing it, despite the fact that the vast majority of people, and I linked to screenshots of this in the article, who were racially abusing the England footballers had Muslim or Middle Eastern names or Indian names. And indeed, someone did a SEMrush analysis of racist comments and emojis posted in the hours after the match ended, and that showed that the top countries of origin are India, United Arab Emirates, Egypt, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan. So the entire media narrative is that there was a racist backlash against black England footballers by white English people because they missed those crucial three penalties and lost the match. That narrative, that fake narrative, was then exploited to push for people to be, quote, made an example of. They want to treat them worse than paedophiles and terrorists, as I'm going to get into, and to grease the skids for the complete evisceration of online anonymity and the passage of an internet ID, which has been a globalist aim for the best part of the past 20 years. We were literally publishing stories about it 15 years ago. And this is all based on the narrative that England is an intolerant, racist country that abuses its own black football players. Completely not the case. And that was proven by another article. This is out of the Daily Mail from back in March earlier this year. It says, revealed 7 out of 10 social media posts abusing Premier League players come from trolls overseas. So social media abuse of top-tier footballers originates outside of the UK in 7 out of 10 cases, according to data collected by the Premier League. So at least 70% of it, and I would argue more from what I'm seeing, comes from outside the country. It comes from people in countries that are more racist than England, which is still a predominantly white country, because that's a fact that leftists who live in this utopia still can't seem to grasp. That racism is way worse in non-white countries. Have you seen how Chinese people treat even other Chinese people who have darker skin complexions? Have you seen how black people get treated in Chinese airports? Have you seen how the Indian caste system works and how that works in other countries? How the only countries in which slavery still exists are all non-white, yes. Other countries are way more racist than Western white European countries. It's way worse. That's one reason why you have the racial abuse of black England footballers, because that's just what they do. That's how they get their jollies. Also, you have a lot of angry people who placed giant bets on England winning this tournament. Those bets came to nothing because these three footballers missed their penalties, so then they're lashing out by racially abusing them. Again, most of the messages come from outside of the country. So for the media to drum up this narrative that this is a white, working-class, English gammon problem, that these pot-belly drunkards are going on social media and abusing football players because they missed penalties, the stats do not bear it out, but they're going to push this narrative to completely eviscerate internet anonymity, internet freedom, and to literally hunt down and make an example out of people who don't even live in the country. I'm going to get into COVID and the latest on the restrictions on the other side. Summit.news. Don't go away.
So,
We have free shipping, double Patriot points through this weekend, and our big loss leader is X2 in the dropper and in the spray bottle for 40 and 60% off, and your purchase funds the M4. But seriously, the UN admits 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of lack of iodine. You need to experience it for yourself. It takes 2 weeks to a month to kick in. Try it and tell me what you think. You can't lose your fun in the InfoWar. And again, I can harp on this all day, but just like our information is dead on from research, I'm telling you, I couldn't do what I do without Deep Earth Crystal Iodine and X2. Just in the stamina and mental focus area, it's incredible. What it did for libido is incredible. When I don't take it, I feel the difference. When I do take it, I'm so empowered. Get your X2 today, discounted in the spray bottle and in the eyedropper bottle to take under your tongue at InfoWarsStore.com. The globalists hope you don't explore how incredibly powerful Deep Earth Crystal Iodine is.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Summit Top News Headquarters. It's Paul Joseph Watson.
We're continuing to talk about this racial abuse controversy in the United Kingdom, which is being exploited by all the usual suspects to push for more internet censorship regulation, internet ID, which they've been trying to get for the best part of 20 years now. I remember articles about it literally in the early 2000s. Of course, that's used across the world by repressive regimes to silence, track down, hunt down true political dissidents, so it's no surprise that they would want to copy authoritarian regimes like communist China and introduce that based off the back of idiot social media influencers and YouTubers who don't know what the hell's going on and just get railroaded by this fear-mongering propaganda about racial abuse into supporting it, promoting their little petitions, despite the fact that the vast majority of the abuse is coming from people in Egypt, United Arab Emirates, India, and all these other Middle Eastern, South Asian countries. The facts don't matter, though, when there's a bandwagon to jump on, as per usual. Toby Young tweeted, to put the scale of the racist abuse the England players receive on Twitter into context, The Guardian analysed more than 585,000 tweets aimed at the players during the group stages and found 44 explicitly racist messages. That's 0.0075% of the total. So this is the big racial abuse controversy that we're being told is so deadly serious. Paul Embury tweeted, when an idiot fan invades the pitch, the TV cameras quite rightly turn away to ensure he doesn't get the publicity he craves and to discourage others from doing the same. When a tiny number of idiots racially abuse players, we give them wall-to-wall media coverage. Go figure. Yeah, ever heard of Don't Feed the Trolls? The one of the primary reasons they do this every time is because they know they're going to get saturation media coverage for the next week. That's what they want. That's what they get. Boris Johnson holds showdown with social media firms demanding that they up their game as PM says details of anonymous racist trolls who abused Euro 2020 penalty misses must be handed over. Instagram has a feature, Twitter has a feature, where you can control who replies to your Instagram posts or your tweets. You can set it so only your followers can reply to them. You can block whoever you want. That doesn't matter, though, because that's not what they really care about. They really care about grabbing even more power. But now we come to this idiot. Radio host says racists should have bank accounts, citizenship stripped. This is Mike Graham, who you may remember as the guy who tried to ruin Marcus Meacham, Count Dankula's life over the Nazi pug joke. This guy's supposedly a centre-right populist host on the radio. Well, now he's called for, quote, racists to be stripped of their bank accounts, passports, and other life necessities, treating them worse than literal sex traffickers and terrorists, by the way. An interesting assertion, given that Graham himself has been denounced as a racist numerous times before. We have a 35-second clip of these moronic comments that he made earlier today on talk radio, and here it is.
Got a plan. The time has come to not only find these people and to prosecute them for their lawless behaviour, but also basically to excommunicate them from our society. So forget about locking them up, forget about throwing away the key, forget about banning them from football stadiums, right? I've got a better idea. Instead, let's make it impossible for them to actually have a life. No bank account, no ability to travel, no passport, no benefits, nothing. Forget kick it out. Let's kick them out. We don't need them. Britain doesn't need them. Adios, amigos. And you don't like it because I've said that in Spanish.
Yeah, great idea, Mike. Why don't we just hang them on the gibbet on a street corner as well? I don't think stripping them of statehood and citizenship and passports and bank accounts is enough. If they said something mean on the internet. And after all, who gets to decide who is racist? You know someone who has been denounced as a racist on numerous occasions? Well, it's Mike Graham himself. In 2019, Graham said, I hate polls live on air, prompting a listener to phone in and accuse him of being racist for hating Polish people. And I mean, surely the accusation alone is enough, right? Why don't we seize your bank account? Why don't we take your passport? What an idiot. He was actually seriously accused of racism and actually was racist in 2020, where he was accused of anti-Irish racism after he repeatedly called Twitter user John O'Connell a paddy several times. This is after he said Celtic Football Club was a paedophile football club, by the way. So apparently Mike Graham can say offensive things on Twitter. He can call Irish people anti-Irish racial slurs all day long on Twitter. But he gets to keep his bank account. He gets to keep his passport. He gets to remain a citizen of the United Kingdom. Think about this. He's literally calling for, quote, racists, the definition of which is so vague and slippery at this point that anything is racism. We had an article today about how soap dispensers were racist, for God's sake. And you want to empower people who think everything's racist to have the power to strip people of their citizenship, their passports, their bank accounts, their benefits, to make it impossible for them to live other than on a park bench at best, if that. When you yourself have been accused of being racist on numerous occasions before, who the hell are you pandering to? Some idiot on GB News this morning, which is supposed to be the anti-woke news channel, got down on one knee and started blathering on about how great Black Lives Matter was. Another complete idiot. These people aren't genuinely right-wing, they're not genuinely conservative, they're not genuinely putting up a fight against this woke takeover by these ideological jihadists. They're all complete grifters, and this proves it yet again. He's literally calling for people who cause offense on the internet, boo-hoo, which basically everything is at this point, to be treated worse than terrorists, worse than violent convicted criminals. Even violent convicted criminals can still process financial transactions. They don't get their citizenship, their statehood, their passport removed. He's calling for them to be treated worse than that. Absolute moronic idiocy, once again, from Mike Graham, but he's got a lot of form, so no surprise there. Sean Kevany on Twitter, meanwhile, says that being a racist isn't an opinion you're entitled to. If you discriminate against someone because of their ethnicity, you're dangerous, you deserve to be vilified, you deserve to lose your job, you're not being cancelled, you're being left behind by a society that rejects you. This is a journalist who I believe worked for the BBC, and again he's saying, quote, if you discriminate against someone because of their ethnicity, you're dangerous. That's quite awkward, because Mr. Kevany's employer, the BBC, does precisely that. Headline, how is this legal? BBC bans white people from applying for spring watch and one show job. The BBC has found itself at the center of a discrimination storm after banning white people from applying for a production management role. There's one furious critic musing, imagine the riots if it had been the other way around. So I agree with Sean Kevany that it is dangerous to discriminate against someone because of their ethnicity. Well, your employer does precisely that. Meanwhile, Theodore Dalrymple, the British author, writes the worldview of the providential class. He says that if despite everything immigrants or people of immigrant descent, especially those of different races, are prospering and integrating well into society, there is no need of a providential class of academics, journalists, bureaucrats and others to rescue them from the slough of despond supposedly brought about by prejudice and discrimination. Many a career opportunity would be lost if there were no systemic injustices of this sort to untangle. He says, for the providential class, ethnic minorities in Britain are mired in an oppressive neo-apartheid state. The only solution is felt to be virtually totalitarian control over society by the providential class. And that's precisely what they're doing in the aftermath of this racist messages abuse controversy. They're completely mischaracterizing it, completely hiding the true origin source of it to clamp down on our freedoms, to create internet ID and more online censorship. Summit.news will be back now.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Internationally from the Summit.News headquarters in the United Kingdom, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
You're back, and we're going to switch gears to COVID now because we've got the big Freedom Day on July 19th, where we get back all the freedoms that we should have had anyway from the gracious government, who people have been genuflecting to after being brainwashed by their behavioral psychologists for the past 16 months. Poll last week found that 40% of the British public wanted mask mandates to remain in place forever. That's how much they've been terrorized and traumatized and made into lily-livered, limp-wristed, yellow bellies by this propaganda. Yeah, when you actually look at the stats, the fear-mongering doesn't seem to be too justified. Headline, just 25 under-18s died from COVID in England. Hundreds died from suicide and trauma, but we don't talk about that. New figures released by researchers in the UK show that just 25 under-18s died from COVID from March 2020 to February 2021, two-thirds of whom had chronic health conditions, and that lockdown measures aimed at children, quote, may prove a greater risk than of SARS-CoV-19 itself. Numbers show that there's around a 1 in 500,000 chance of children dying from coronavirus in England, and that includes victims of pre-existing medical conditions like heart disease and cancer. But still, apparently, we have to vaccinate them all, despite the fact that 25 over the course of a year of this deadly pandemic have died, and two-thirds of them had chronic health conditions. Yet we still have to vaccinate all the kids, despite the fact that obviously more of them are going to die from complications from the vaccine than the virus itself. Because virtue signalling is more important than actually saving lives. WHO epidemiologist says it was, quote, devastating to see fans enjoying Euros final unmasked. Oh my God! They weren't wearing masks! The leading World Health Organization epidemiologist says it was devastating to see crowds at Wembley enjoying the European Championships final without wearing face masks. 66,000 fans gathered inside the stadium to see Italy defeat England. Again, what a shame that was. On Sunday night, Maria van Kerkhove expressed her disgust that supporters were able to enjoy the match unmasked despite it being outdoors and within existing COVID-19 rules for masks to not be required. So she had a big hissy fit about it on Twitter. She said, "The COVID-19 pandemic is not taking a break tonight. SARS-CoV Delta variant will take advantage of unvaccinated people in crowded settings, unmasked, screaming, shouting, singing, devastating." That was her hissy fit. So apparently people being allowed to go back to normal life is devastating, despite the fact that the government literally held numerous major trials at sporting events where the spread of COVID-19 was found to be infinitesimal as a result, with people not wearing masks. The fans who attended the game were made to provide proof of vaccination or negative COVID test on condition of entry, which they're now going to roll out to the rest of society. By the way, I'll get onto that in the next bit. Of course, we know with masks, the great saint himself, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Jesus returned, the Pope, all in one, God himself, God of science, admitted in February 2020, the store-bought face mask, quote, is not really effective in keeping out virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. Don't talk about that anymore, do they? There was only one major peer-reviewed study as to the efficacy of masks, by the way. It took place in Denmark, involved 6,000 participants, and it found that, quote, there was no statistically significant difference between those who wore masks and those who did not when it came to being infected by COVID-19. And yet they're still trying to keep these mask mandates in place for eternity, forever. And on that subject, the famous British author Peter Hitchens appeared on, I think it was GB News, to talk about how masks are indeed a pure form of virtue signalling, completely useless and completely ineffective. Here is that clip.
People should continue to assert that they work, since the government itself and the World Health Organization, right up until June last year, were perfectly clear that they made very little difference either in protecting people from infection or from preventing them from passing on infection. There has been only one major randomized controlled trial into the effectiveness of masks, the Danmask trial, which went largely unreported by most British media. And what that said was that the difference between those who wore masks and those who did not in actually getting infected was statistically insignificant. So I think we should be a bit less confident about asserting that masks work in themselves. The other simple point here that we have to make is that there is a big difference between the loose cloth masks, which are commonly worn by the public, and the sort of masks which are worn in hospitals, which are the N95 type particularly, which cost an awful lot more, which can only be worn once, which if touched while it's being worn becomes useless, and is entirely different both in nature and use from the things which are being worn. And the other thing is that there doesn't seem to be any serious correlation between mask usage and the levels of infections of COVID around the world, if you compare all countries. I think the other thing we must remember is a fascinating scoop by Deborah Cohen, the medical correspondent of BBC Newsnight, a year ago now, when the World Health Organization reversed its position on masks. She inquired and discovered from contacts that the decision had not been taken as a result of medical information, but for political reasons. And she put this to her contacts at WHO, and they did not in any way seek to put her off it. I think, and I think there's evidence all over the place, the reason why the British government and some others seek to continue mask wearing is that they see it as a badge of compliance and that they think that if people stop wearing masks, as they have in the large parts of the United States now, I believe, if they stop wearing masks, then the whole atmosphere of what I would call fear and panic created by mask wearing over the past year or so will dissipate. And once people stop being as afraid as they have been, the entire state of compliance, the willingness of people to do all kinds of things in the belief that if they don't do them, everyone will fall ill, will diminish. Well, you can see why they might think that. And you can argue that it might be a sensible policy to take, but I don't think it's particularly factually based. And I think people should be wary of people just asserting that it is so. If anybody ever says to you, will mask wear, ask them to cite the proper randomized controlled trials are the gold standard of this kind of study. Ask them to cite the randomized controlled trial, which actually shows that what they're saying is true.
Meanwhile, despite the fact that, as Peter Hitchens explained there's no evidence that masks actually reduce COVID-19 transmission, The Telegraph reports COVID passports and masks required at sporting events in England after July 19th. Oh, so it isn't Freedom Day. Oh, we're lifting all the restrictions. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're introducing vaccine passports, which you denied you were doing for months on end while secretly funding them. Now, fans attending sporting events in England after July 19th will require a COVID passport and will be told to wear masks. And, of course, the costs of getting a negative COVID test every time you want to enter into a theatre, a venue, whatever, a sports stadium, are extremely prohibitive for most people, so it's another way to force them to get the much-vaunted vaccine. Farage predicts government could bring back restrictions by September. That's precisely what they're planning to do. It never ends. Meanwhile, in France, Macron announces those without COVID vaccine pass will be banned from routine life activities. Oh, but it's not mandatory. You just won't be able to go into a shopping mall, a cafe, a hospital, a bar, a cinema, an educational institution, basically anywhere, unless you get the vaccine. But it's not mandatory. French President Emmanuel Macron announced that those who don't have a COVID pass will be banned from participating in basic life activities, such as visiting shopping malls, restaurants, and using public transport. Now, they tried to pass this, by the way, back in December, on the banning of people who were unvaccinated using public transport. There were fierce protests against it, and they had to roll it back. Will it be rolled back now? Where are the yellow vests, the gilets jaunes, to fight back against this obvious state tyranny? What they did in France, in an effort to force more people to take the vaccine, was to remove free COVID PCR tests, because they'd previously been free. Now people have to pay for them. They're not going to be able to afford to pay for them, because France's economy's basically been in the mud for the past 15 years. So it'll make it financially unsustainable for most people to continually have to take negative COVID tests to go about daily activities. So they will be forced to take the vaccine. But it's not mandatory. CNN doctor, it needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. A medical expert suggested that in order to force more people to get vaccinated, life should be made as difficult as possible for those who are still opting not to take the shots. That's what it's all about, identifying the dissidents who don't go along with this, so they can be punished by having their basic social life, their right to mobility, and everything that constitutes normal, free living removed. Going to wrap it up. Summit on News coming up next. War Room with Owen Schroyer. Don't go away.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.